Thanks everybody for your attendance today at the meeting of the ordinary meeting of Central Tablelands Water here in Canoundra. And I'd just like to, I think what the time is, 10:05, Wednesday 11th of December 2024. I'll start by acknowledging that we are having this meeting on the land of the Wiradjuri people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I'd like to pay our respects to their people, both past and present, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal Australians who are present or who may be listening into this recording. In accordance with Central Tablelands Water Code meeting practice, this meeting will be audio recorded and will be uploaded to Council's website within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks after the meeting, the audio recording will allow members of the public to listen to the proceedings of the council meetings. By speaking at the council meeting, you agree to be audio recorded. Please ensure that if and when you speak at this council meeting, that you ensure that you are respectful to others and use appropriate language at all times. Whilst council will make every effort to ensure that audio recordings are available, it takes no responsibility for and cannot be held liable for technical issues beyond its control. These audio recordings are a free public service and are not an official record of council meetings. Council does not accept any responsibility for any verbal comments made during council meetings which may be inaccurate, incorrect, defamatory or contrary to law, and does not warrant nor represent that the material or statements made during a meeting are complete, reliable, accurate or free from error. The audio recording is primarily set up to capture the proceedings of the council meeting, and members of the public attending the council meeting need to be aware that they may be recorded as part of the proceedings. Now, item four is apologies, applications for leave of absence. General Manager?
Yes. Mr. Chair, we have a leave of absence request from Councillor Goswich.
Does anyone second the leave of absence?
Yep.
No. Mr. Best, thank you. All in favour of providing leave of absence for Councillor Goswich?
Yep. Sorry, no, second. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, was that moved by Councillor Best or seconded by Councillor Best?
Seconded by Councillor Newstead. Thank you. All in favour, aye. Thank you. Item five, confirmation of minutes from the previous meeting. Has everyone had a chance to have a look through the minutes? Are there any matters arising from the... Oh, wait a minute, before we have that, we have confirmation. Any questions about the minutes? No amendments to be made. Okay. So anyone wish to move that? Councillor Powell, and seconded by Councillor Nash. Thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Carried. Are there any matters arising from the previous minutes?
No amendments.
No. We were going to mention, what was that? That was the... Now I'm trying to remember. There was a matter from the previous minutes that we were discussing on the car on the way down. Wait a minute. Pick them up. It was really just a report on further...
It was on the... Sorry, Mr. Chairman. And through you, it was in relation to... the survey that was being undertaken,
the
customer survey, just to provide you with an update on that the surveys have been undertaken by the consultant, and we're expecting a first draft before Christmas on that, and the final draft will be ready for our workshop in February, which will help to inform our strategic plan.
So we're aiming to have a workshop in February to start the IPNR process, get the community's response. So that's what this was for. And then with the aim to have the final IPNR documents looked at in a workshop in May and then put out for endorsement to the community before our June meeting. So that's the purpose of that.
Comment on
yes?
the survey? I actually got called and I did check it wasn't a conflict of interest. So I did do the survey and I just want to say they were really good. And I did make a comment to them at the end. Thank you very much for their manner, for approaching the way that they did ring ahead. And the message is to tell you that it was a survey because you get these hoax calls all the time. So it was well done. So well done.
Everyone
involved that set that up and did that.
Thank you. It's good to hear. So there's no further matters arising. Move on to item 7, disclosures of interest. Is it in wish to disclose anything?
No.
Nothing to declare?
No.
No, nothing to declare. Public forum?
There's no public
forum. No public forum. Chairperson's minutes. If you go down to item 9, page 3. There is a minute there which I won't read through, but it was really just to mention a couple of meetings that the General Manager and I have attended in recent times, and really to thank the JO and the State Member Phil Donato for facilitating the meetings in Parliament. This is a few weeks ago, we had the JO meeting on the previous afternoon, and then a whole day of meetings with ministers. And the Premier on the Thursday, which was excellent. It was an excellent day. I did manage to ask a question of the Water Minister, Rose Jackson, about the Global Water Security Project. The reason behind the question was there are competing interests for the water that might be generated by that project. And I wanted to get her assurance that her priority was effectively the same as ours, which was that the provision of town water was of the highest priority. And she quite emphatically, if you remember, quite emphatically said, yes, that's my highest priority. So we've got that from her in public, and so that's really important. We also attended a roundtable with Steph Cook, the Shadow Water Minister and the Opposition Leader in Cowra a few weeks ago. And while there was a broad-ranging discussion happening on the day, it became pretty clear at the end of that we're really going to have bipartisan support for what we wish to out of the Global Water Security Project, particularly the augmentation of the dam. I mean, obviously, it's all determined by the business case. But in terms of potential funding of the project, I think we're getting bipartisan support for that. It's not, I think everyone thinks it's a great idea. Provided the business case supports that. So that was all. I just wanted to wish everyone a wonderful end of the year, wonderful Christmas and so on. So that's the purpose of that minute.
Chair, if I could just add that just for taking the author actually says in here General Manager, that's not the case. It's more of a technical issue with Info Council as we don't have councillors on our system, so they can't actually author the report, so I have to take Andrew's minutes and drop them in there.
Yep.
So
that's why it comes out as having been written by the General Manager of Administration.
That I didn't actually write it. That was the chairman's message today.
Yes. I can put it, can't I?
Yes, you do.
I can. And I don't need a seconder, do I?
That is correct. We'll advise at that point that your former General Manager, Graham Maley, that was the case under the meeting code of practice.
Yes, indeed. But does it need to be accepted and by a vote? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for noting my comment. Are there any comments or questions? Okay. No? Yes, no? Item 10 is councillor representation. Does anyone wish to... note their representation on behalf of CTW over the last 2 months, or since our last meeting.
I went to Tamworth to the...
Indeed, local government, New South Wales.
Yeah, New South Wales, yeah.
Yep, thanks, Councillor Nash.
Great, our Councillor Boswich also attended.
That's correct.
And our General Manager.
And the General Manager. Anyone else? No. Obviously, the General Manager and I attended both those meetings I've just mentioned in 1 minute.
The EV Day.
There's the EV Day that we, a few of us attended. Well, I went as a coupon person.
Charlie.
Charlie is Charlie.
We were invited under CTW.
CTW, yeah.
Yeah.
May I ask how that went?
Mm. It was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you get in a car?
I got into four cars.
I got into two.
I already drive a Tesla, so I knew what it was going to be like. But yes, it was fun day, but it was also an informative day in that there were talks before we managed to get out and have a drive, and it was pretty clear that that we're in that transitionary phase between, you know, old fossil fuel vehicles and into EVs. The General Manager has just got himself an EV.
Mm-hmm.
So we've now got an EV which is able to be charged at the head office in Glenny, which is great. And with the federal government's incentive for EVs, it becomes definitely a very positive thing for organisations like ours to transition across to EVs. But without that incentive, it's not quite as good. Peter's looking at me.
No, it's not quite as good because of the capital cost.
Indeed.
And
yeah,
the big question mark, I suppose, is the ultimately the resale. That's a very uncertain area where there's a lot of diversity of opinion and a lot of modelling going on at the moment to see how that sits from a business case point of view overall. So we won't really know that until such time as we try to dispose of the vehicle in the secondary market.
The good thing about the day was there are a lot of cars now on the market, and so there are a lot of players in the field, and therefore the costs, the initial capital cost of these vehicles is coming down all the time. So there was one there, wasn't there? It was only, you know, not much more than a Corolla in terms of its cost, its initial cost. And because the running costs of them are so low, that's also very advantageous. But it's, because of that transition, it's going to take a little while for us to get the confidence, or for all organisations to have the confidence to transition across.
Mm.
It was good, though. It was a good thing. And if you wanted to...
If I may, Mr. Chair, just to also state that we now have a fleet transition plan. So I guess as a JO, they collectively organise a project where they would provide a plan to each council to, I guess, extend into the EV space, so the transition and how that could occur. I think we're fortunate at this point in time, taking on Peter's comment too, the government have acknowledged the capital costs associated with procurement of EVs for local governments, probably not quite there yet. However, there are some incentives around at the moment, which obviously we took advantage of with the procurement of my vehicle, in that the government offering one-off incentives in a monetary value. And they've only just recently increased those incentives.
Mm.
There's also benefits to council in the fringe benefit tax exemption. The question is also how long are these incentives going to continue? So at this point in time, the incentives do make it more attractive. It's unknown what the future holds, really.
Yeah, for you, Mr. Chairman, I think the big area is going to be in the work vehicle space.
Yes.
How they make that transition there, and they're starting to get a few, there's a few options there for plug-in hybrids in that space.
Indeed.
So it'll be interesting to see how that, and that's certainly an area that we can certainly look at and probably have a bigger impact on us in terms of the transition in that space once they get the movement in that space, which is coming.
It's coming.
It's just a matter of time to get that technology there.
Yeah, there were a couple of vehicles there that, that were a couple of use hybrids that were. I didn't get a chance to try myself, but certainly it's coming.
I drove the
Ute. You drove the Ute? Was it any good?
Yeah, it was good.
Was it the Shark or something?
Yeah, BYD Shark.
Shark. Yeah.
Chinese.
What vehicles do we have?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Approximately have about 20 vehicles in our fleet at the moment. Probably a little bit, probably 21. So yeah, that's we haven't got a huge fleet, but it's significant.
But are they mainly Utes?
Mainly Utes and commercial vehicles. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. Thank you for that. We'll move on to item 11, notices of motion. There are no notices of motion. Okay. Thank you. Item 12. Now, what we're going to do now is instead of diving straight into 12.1, we are going to move forward 12.5. So if you want to work your way down to 12.5, which is on page... There, sorry.
43,
thank you. Page 43. Okay, the annual financial statements and auditors report ending 30th of June. And I'd like to welcome Katie Henry from who's the principal from Intentis, who will provide us with an audit report. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you, Chair. Shall I pop on this side so that I can move my slides along? Sorry, I'm right.
I should have that way, shouldn't I?
Everyone has a copy of the presentation.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. I need to invest in one of those little clickers so that I don't need to stand right by the laptop would be good. That's right. Okay, good morning, Mr. Chair and councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you all this morning in relation to the financial statement audit for Central Tablelands Water for 30 June 2024. The audit officers continue to engage Intentis as their audit service provider and conduct the audit on their behalf. I'm Katie Henry. I think I've met most of you now. I've been involved with the CTW audit for a number of years, and I'm the key contact between Intentis and the audit office. The audit office is in their 200th year of providing audits to both the local government and state government sectors, as well as universities. This is a bit of a snapshot of their annual work program that they've got for 2024 to 2027. It was released in August of this year. And the program explains how the topics are selected and what's planned for the 24-25 year across all New South Wales government sector, local government sector, and the New South Wales public universities. The local government audit report will comment on the financial reporting and performance, internal controls and governance of the industry. A number of performance audits are also planned for the local government sector. These are the planned audits and reports for the local government sector. In 24-25, they plan to undertake some reviews on road asset management, coastal management reforms and long-term financial planning. You're able to register through their website if you're interested in a bit more detail. I won't go into a huge amount of detail on these. As you can see, the focus is largely city-based councils, with the exception of your long-term financial planning and the governance issues items. But if you would like to delve a little bit more into it, definitely jump onto the audit officer's website and you can register for regular updates through their subscription options. These were the areas of focus for 23-24 for local government. So it was in their report to Parliament. They've focused on the audit results across the industry, financial controls, IT cyber controls, which is no surprise there. That's been on everyone's annual engagement plan for a number of years now. And the key governance areas were fraud control, conflicts, BCP and crisis management, and internal audit. In relation to BCP crisis management, I've just got a few statistics here I was going to share with you. An update on the 2023 results were 31 councils had no update to their BCP and 17 have plans in place or had no recent testing or limited testing of technology. So this is a bit of an area of focus going forward, trying to bring the industry up to speed with their testing and updating of their business continuity plans. They've identified it as a key strategic risk. With the internal audit, I think that most organisations, even the smaller ones, have now brought on some level of internal audit function. Most of them are outsourcing that service or that those professional requirements. I guess given the nature of internal audits, depending on what the focus is for the organisation, you often do need to chop and change between what provider you're looking at for those internal audit plans so that you get the right services conducting your focused reviews there. Now, I turn to the report on the conduct of the audit. We've completed our audit of the general purpose financial statements and the special purpose financial statements for CTW. And I'm pleased to report to you that we issued a clean audit opinion again on the 21st of October for Council's financial statements for the year ending 30 June 2024. And that means that the financial statements contain no material misstatements and were presented fairly. The Office of Local Government's code stipulates what needs to be covered by the report on the conduct of the audit. And as you can see in note F5-1, that's the ratios note, there are five key performance ratios which are audited within the general purpose financial statements. Council has met four of the five industry benchmarks set by the Office of Local Government. Council did not achieve the benchmark for operating performance ratio in 2024, which is the ratio that CTW often doesn't meet or hasn't met for the last few years. And I'll touch on that one and a couple of your other ratios later on in my presentation. This one's a snapshot of your income statement. As you can see, rates and annual charges revenue increased by 0.13 million to 1.85 million or 7.6% due to the increase in rates charged in line with inflation as well as an increase in residential connections. User charges revenue increased by 0.6 million or 12.1% in 23-24. Due to the dry conditions experienced in the latter part of 2024, an increase in private works and installations, and a 4% increase in user charges. Grants and contributions revenue has increased by 1.15 million or 68.9% in 23-24, mainly due to the increase of 1.3 million in capital grants revenue received for the Carpool Reservoir project. Mm-hmm. This is offset by a slight decrease of 0.11 million of developer charges for mains extensions and also a decrease of 0.1 million of developer contributions section 64 recognised during the year. The operating result for the year of 2.68 million, including depreciation, amortisation and impairment expense of 3.01 million, was 1.55 million higher than last year, mainly due to the increase in the capital grants I just mentioned. So the net operating result before capital grants and contributions of 0.14 million deficit was 0.39 million higher than the 2023 deficit of 0.53 million. So a slightly better result this year. slide just shows you a snapshot of your revenue streams and just gives you a bit of a comparison for the last 4 years. As you can see, annual charges are very comparable, grants and contributions operating is very comparable and obviously depends on what's available from year to year. Grants and contributions capital has increased slightly, and that's due to that grant funding I mentioned on the previous slide. Your user charges have increased as well, in line with what I've mentioned on the previous slide as well. Interest revenue has increased due to the interest rates going up, as well as the increase in cash and investments balance, which had increased about $790,000 overall. Your other income has decreased slightly, and that's due to the workers' compensation claim reimbursement from the settlement of a disputed workers' compensation claim in 2023. This one shows your expenses by type. So in 2024, the depreciation for the water supply network increased about $263,000, in line with the increased asset value of predominantly driven by your water network assets, which your total indexation last year was $6.5 million. So that gives you an impact on this year's depreciation. Your employee benefits and on-costs increased by approximately $259,000, and that's in line with your increase in your full-time equivalent employees. Your cash position. So cash and investments increased from $9.97 million to $10.76 million, an increase of $0.79 million. This year, you continue to have your $10,000 in external restrictions, which relates to security deposits and bonds held by council. These cash investment levels have a positive impact on the unrestricted current ratio and the cash expense cover ratio, which are two of the ratios that exceeded the benchmark in note 5.F5-1. This is the ratio that I mentioned before that council did not meet. So this is the operating performance ratio. It measures how well council contained operating expenditure within operating revenue. Capital grants and contributions are excluded from this ratio. So whilst council has improved the ratio, you can see you have continued to not meet it for this financial year. And it shows that the operating expenditure outweighs your operating revenue. It's not uncommon for small councils not to meet this ratio, given their reliance on grants and contributions, especially for capital works. Your own source operating revenue ratio. This ratio measures council's fiscal flexibility and the degree to which it relies on external funding sources such as operating grants and contributions. Council has continued to exceed this benchmark. The benchmark is greater than 60%, which is set by the Office of Local Government. I popped this percentage in. We audit this percentage, but it's not an OLG benchmark. They don't consider it a benchmark because of its specific nature to water charges, but given that your business is water, I thought it was a good one to pop in as well. So your annual water charges, interest and extra charges outstanding ratio has remained relatively consistent over the past 3 years. This percentage assesses the impact of uncollected charges on council's liquidity and the adequacy of debt recovery efforts. And whilst there's no benchmark set by the OLG for this particular percentage, your relatively like ratio with other councils, your constituent councils, would be the benchmark for rates and annual charges outstanding, which the OLG sets at 10%. That'd be your closest comparable, which, as you can see, CTW is slightly below that, But I think given your consistency in the percentage, it's still a good result. This slide just shows you a bit of a snapshot as to the asset renewals and the new asset additions that CTW invested in 2024. So as you can see, asset renewals were 1.04 million in 2024 versus 0.75 million in 2023. And new asset additions were 4.1 million in 2024 compared to 1.95 million in 2023. So when looking at these numbers collectively, the bulk of it was spent on your water supply network. So 4.07 million in total across your additions and your renewals on a total of 5.1 million total additions. So overall, council has cash to meet debt as it falls due. You've met four audited ratios and did not meet one audited ratio as reported on in the report on the conduct of audit, as well as in note F5-1 in the financial statements. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Peter and his finance team for another very smooth year in the audit. Their professionalism and cooperation with my team during the conduct of the audit is greatly appreciated, and I can say hand on heart that the team really enjoy coming to CTW. It's definitely one of their favourite ones to be involved in. I'd also like to acknowledge the pre-31st of October lodgement with the Office of Local Government, again this year being the 24th of October, which is another great result. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you so much, Katie, for that. Are there any questions?
Just looking at your last slide there.
Sure.
Does that figure then, does that go back into the operating expenditure on that operations performance ratio? That's used, isn't it, the asset renewals?
The asset renewals goes into the IPP&E ratio that's in your special schedules. It's not actually in the operating.
So those asset renewals don't form part of operating?
No. It's just your operating expenditure filters into the operating ratio, yeah. I can't recall off the top of my head what that ratio is in the special schedules. We don't actually audit it anymore. We only audit the permissible income.
Yeah, I was just thinking that they were looking at why our operation performance ratio, we've gotten better, but while we're still below the zero, what's the main driver for that?
Yeah, the main driver for that has probably been the climatic conditions we've had over the last 4 or 5 years. I've got a graph very similar, which is the operating result before capital over the last 5 years, and we've had some fairly small operating losses before capital. We had 2021 was a particularly weak year, so we had very low sales there.
Yeah.
So that was a high one. But in 23-24, the later part of the year, as Katie indicated, the sales started to come back a bit. We've had a similar start to this current year. We're really at a point where we have to see how things go for the balance of the year to see how we turn out. The depreciation number went up 10.5%. I've got a graph of depreciation going back to 2006-07. 2006-07 was the first year I think fair value came in. That's why I picked it. It was just a little bit over $1 million. It's now over $3 million.
Yeah.
So, and it's now 37% of our operating cost. So it's the biggest cost that we face. Mm. And that's the depreciation number that probably caught us out last year. We probably would have got close to break-even situation, which would have been outstanding given the very slow start to the year that we had.
Mm. The Minister, Ron Haney, he's talking about removing depreciation. He's saying he wants to remove it from the Minister. So that's a big impact on our financials, wouldn't it?
Huge impact on every on these ratios. Exactly.
Katie, sorry, if I may ask a question. We're fortunate, I suppose, we don't have to concentrate on water.
Mm.
There are other GP councils that are affected by rate peg. So we're unique in that respect. But how are you finding in the industry that the economic position of the country is impacting on the ability of councils to continue to operate and provide those levels of service? Is it
just becoming all too hard. Like, where is the future in this?
Yes. What we are noticing is there is definitely an increase in councils putting forward special rate variations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're coming off the back of probably 3 years, Peter probably can recall better than I can, of very low rate pegging. You know, I know that you guys aren't impacted by that, but other councils, your constituent councils, they haven't even been keeping up with inflation,
mm-hmm.
some of those rate pegging years. So that's definitely made it difficult to then meet like that operating ratio that I mentioned, because their expenditure side is all increasing in line with inflation, but yet their revenue side has been held back. So that would probably be the biggest thing. We're seeing a lot more special rate variations being put in to try and stop gap that difference, that disparity that is going on there. As far as like the pressures of cost of living, we would ordinarily see that on your debtors side. So if there was a big increase of your receivables showing that your ratepayers aren't keeping up with paying your water charges and your rates, but we haven't actually seen that sort of an increase yet.
Mm.
It is a bit of a lagging
Yeah.
telltale, so we might see that more for 30 June 2025, but at the moment it's pretty steady.
Mm.
Yeah, if I could just make a point on that, the debt recovery side, we're increasingly needing to take debt recovery action to, you know, the ratio is pretty consistent, as Katie's indicated there, over the last 3 years, but it's getting harder and harder to maintain that, and certainly it's being felt a lot more people on arrangements than there would have been previously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of certainly been filled in that,
yeah,
in that
okay.
way. So we're hitting a threshold there, you think, that we're...
My expectation would be to see debtors increase come 30 June 2025.
Mm.
I think that it's a bit lagging, and then people sort of start to put their hand up and seek a little bit more support or leniency and... things like that.
So. And I think what we're seeing also with general purpose councils, we have seen some general purpose councils in their water funds specifically as well, because of the climatic conditions and the wet conditions that have persisted over the last few years, their water funds have also suffered, and that has impacted their consolidated results as well. Traditionally, the water fund would make a surplus and sort of offset maybe some losses in the general fund, but they're finding it a little bit more difficult to do that as well.
Yes.
It makes an impact on your long-term financial plan, though, doesn't it? With this up and down, where we draw the line and say, okay, climate change is starting to affect us, where we start doing our calculations based upon, is this going to be the norm? Are we going to be having big highs and massive lows?
That's the reason for the focus on that long-term financial plan as well. And sustainability is a big topic.
Pete
would be able to back up as well from that. Local government financials conference.
It's a very difficult area, particularly for us, and I have had discussions with the chair about these issues and some of the difficulties we face, and how we go about it. But
that's
a challenge we've definitely got challenges, and it goes to our revenue policy as well. What do we do with our fees and charges? We've got to keep up with our costs and pass that on, because if we can get to that break even situation, well, we've got some money to renew our assets into the future. So it is, and you project it out over 10 years, then it does become very difficult to do that.
Yeah, you remove the depreciation, makes it look good, but it doesn't mean more financially viable to fix those assets, does it?
No. Exactly.
It's a false. Yeah.
Exactly.
I can't see them taking the depreciation off.
No, I would be very surprised if they do it fully.
Okay.
I think there will be some sort of change to it. And one thing that Peter and I were talking about yesterday is the idea of indexation might actually be scaled back. So that would be one option that would then reduce the depreciation, because what we are seeing a fair bit of, in particular with our other councils, is, you know, the indexation is pushing those values of assets up. And then when we get to the revaluation year, where historically we used to see a big hit for the increment, the increase of the value of the asset, now we're often, in more cases than not, we're seeing a decrement, a decrease in the value of the asset because of that indexation that's happening annually. And you know, seemingly it's looking like it's inflating it beyond what the value, the fair value actually is when you come around to the revaluation year. So I think there probably is quite a strong argument that the indexation is not helping the situation on a valuation side as well as on your depreciation side. So I would, I'd put my money on that would be something that would definitely get changed, And then
there's a view now that maybe that's giving a intergenerational equity effect, that current consumers are being forced to pay future values and not the value of the asset when they actually are receiving the services.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's producing this high depreciation number, which is then has to be passed through in your fees and charges to recover it, and the current generation are covering that when in fact that should be really something more for future generations to look at. Mm-hmm. It's sort of reverse generational equity, intergenerational equity, where traditionally you borrow money and you repay the money over the life of the asset, and that spreads it out across the generations.
Mm.
This is looking upon as a bit of a reverse factor. It's working a little bit the other way, where current generations are paying more than perhaps they should be if the depreciation number was actually based on the cost, historical cost of the asset at the time it was acquired. So it's a technical argument. I agree with Councillor Nash. I don't think there'll be any. You'll ever get to a situation. I haven't heard the minister's comments, but you'll never get to a situation where you're not.
There's no depreciation.
You're always going to recognise that service potentially of your assets expire over time. So.
Yeah, well, isn't it that cost of what's going to take to replace it? That's what depreciation is, isn't it? For that money.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's designed to do, but the reality is for certainly a utility like ours, which is built on infrastructure that was a capital investment of the state government, 80, 90 years ago, and in future to replace that or to fix that would probably require a grant from the state or federal government to do that.
Yes.
And we would never be able to replace. We'd never be able to replace Lake Rollins. We wouldn't have the ability to do.
No.
Yeah.
And that's often what actually happens.
Yeah.
Is whenever there's a major infrastructure asset replacement or upgrade, it's funded by grant funding.
Yes.
Yeah. Or in part at least. Like sometimes there might be a scenario where they want you to contribute some, but for the really significant ones, it's usually 100% funded.
Absolutely. But one of the great advantages, when you tell us this, one of the great advantages of depreciation, having to account for it, is that it by definition makes your finances more conservative. So you're not just sort of taking all this money and then just playing with it. You've got to keep it for a reason, or you've got to account for the future in what you're doing now. So it's a very conservative way of looking at finance.
I get the sense too, probably talking about what I was referring to earlier about that social impact, which, as Peter's highlighted too, we're going to have a pretty hard discussion at some point about the rates and the fees and charges. And I suspect we're masking that ratio that you highlighted is being masked by the fact that we're paying more for debt collectors trying to receive, get our money. So there's no, it's probably not a true reflection of what's happening in
the society. Debt collection costs are become part of the debt under the Local Government Act, so we do recover that. So there's generally no net cost other than administrative cost, but certainly the cost of debt collection in terms of staff time and following up and hearing is significant. And sometimes people end in arrangements and don't keep them, but you do get people in good faith that do keep them, and they come in every week or they do a direct debit and everything, and they're prepared to, to work through the process. But you do have some that find it difficult for that discipline they enter into an agreement and then they find it hard to maintain that agreement. And really, when you're sort of working out those agreements, you've really got to take into account what their future bills are going to be and so forth. So you're not the debt, you're just treading water, you're not actually getting the debt down.
And how did government address those sorts of things in our communities? we're at 7.5, the industry's around 10. What's the limit?
So they're saying that they factor all that into their rate pegging calculation.
Yeah.
But, you know, clearly it's not enough for the last few years, and hence the special rate variations. And so when other councils, I mean, the Blaney councillors can attest to this, when they put forward their plans for special rate variations, there are lots of scenario factors that go into that calculation to try and estimate and, you know, account for that side of things.
That's what I'm thinking of now, because like I said, we've got the last 3 years, we haven't basically broke even, but yet we could have a great year next year. We could have a dry year, and then, you know, you could be saying, well, but overall, it's, you know.
The only other side of that, Councillor Best, is then your demand management clicks in and you've
got restrictions. We're in an industry where whenever you need it, we've got to actually restrict it.
So it's a balancing act.
That's
true. Normal business, and you have something that everybody wants, and then you have to restrict your sales. You just up your production.
I think you're always going to have ratepayers that can't pay. I think that's always going to be there.
Yeah, you try and work with them, you try and help them, and most people are very good and cooperative, but you do find some that can be difficult.
Yeah.
And not only that, they can be sometimes quite difficult to communicate with.
Mm-hmm.
They can be pretty hostile and aggressive sometimes, and that does impact on the staff. And, you know, sometimes they'll hang up in your ear and, you know, you'll get quite a bit of interesting language and so forth. And that does, I'm conscious of the impact of that on the staff and that as well. So I try generally, where I can, to take some of those. Sometimes I'm successful in calming the water, sometimes I'm not. But you just try and do your best, and you offer an arrangement there that people can best manage. But we do have some that are difficult. That require further legal action to recover.
No, it's very good that, you know, you have that arrangement where people can, that are in trouble, can pay. Well, I think that's fantastic.
We encourage them to let us know
That is indeed our policy. Thank you so much, Katie. That was fantastic. If there are no further questions for Katie, might let you go. Before we finish this item, though, Peter, was there anything that you would like to say, particularly on anything further you would like to say on the item, particularly those extra...
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I think, unfortunately, I apologise for the graphs not coming through when we run the report. But we've basically touched on the operating result before capital and the challenges we have there. We discussed the depreciation challenges that we have. They're the two big things. From the point of view of the cash business, most of our cash is restricted for future renewal and investment. We don't run, we don't have a lot of unrestricted cash or working capital type funds. We had 800,000 at the end of the year, but we were carrying a little bit extra in creditors at that time, so we really needed a little bit of the unrestricted cash to make sure we could cover our creditors at the 30th of June. So it went from 500,000 to 800,000. That was the reason that was done at the end of the year. And I think the volatility of our income stream, as Katie indicated, our own source revenue is very strong. But because we're a single commodity council, that makes us vulnerable in terms of that we don't have that stability of income. And that's always going to be the case, and it's just how we set our charges and moving forward, and how we manage the changes in consumption, and definitely how we model it. I'm open, as I've said to the chairman, I'm open to suggestions as to how to do it. I don't think there's any right answer, but you can only base it on the best information you have at the time you actually do it and the assumptions that you make, and that's all we can do.
Thank you for that, Peter. I'd like to thank you both and thank the whole team for all the hard work in getting that all done. And it sounds like we are, I mean, despite some of the difficulties, we're still in a very strong position and working consistently well. So I think that's a fantastic result.
Yes, very much so. My pleasure. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
And so I'd like, the recommendation here is that council receive the 2023-2024 financial statements and auditors' reports. Can I have a mover? Councillor Newstead, a seconder. Councillor Nash, all in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That's carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
So we'll move back to item 12.1. So that was item 12.5. We're now going back to... Bear with me while I find the page. Page 4, indeed, right back to near the beginning. 12.1, the transition. Excuse the typo there. The transition to IPNR. I won't read through that, but the recommendation is listed there, written there. General Manager, would you like to speak to this item?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Prior to actually starting with the staff reports, could I just raise that, as people may be aware, our Director of Operations and Technical Services resigned as of Friday last week. I just wanted to acknowledge Noel and his contribution to CTW. I think he was here for nearly 7 years, and he can help to deliver quite a lot of projects in that time. Noel has actually worked with the organisation since the 1990s, particularly on telemetry elements of the business. And so he's been, I guess, a big contributor to the organisation as a whole. So I just wanted to acknowledge Noel and the time that he's had with CTW and the input that he's provided to the organisation.
Thank you, Charlie. I'd like to also reiterate those comments from the General Manager. I certainly appreciated all of the hard work that Noel has put in the time that I've been here in council. He certainly made a significant improvement to a lot of our infrastructure over the years. There was a fair amount of money. He used to comment that he was the minister for expenditure and Peter was the minister for holding on to the money. He was the minister for spending money and Peter was the minister for holding it. So there was a fair amount of activity that's occurred in the last years that with Noel being here. He's delivered on a number of major projects over that period of time, and I would just like to acknowledge it on behalf of the board, all of the hard work that Noel has done, and I wish him well in his retirement.
Sure.
Any other comments? Okay. Thanks. So we'll move on. Thank you for that, Charlie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll just provide a little bit of background to the report in terms of that transition to IPNR. The water utility sector and wastewater used to operate under the best practice guidelines, which was essentially the Integrated Water Cycle Management Plan was the key document that helped to inform the business. There, in 2022, the regulator at the time has changed the way in which they consider that. They've called it the Regulatory Assurance Framework. And within that, there's elements that align with the Integrated Planning and Reporting of a General Purpose Council. The intent of this report is just to acknowledge the Regulatory Assurance Framework, which we call the RAF, and how it does tie into the Integrated Planning and Reporting, and that we should be working towards that. There's elements of the RAF that we can break down into particular components, and we can focus on those if that's an important element of the business that needs attention. So it gives us a bit more flexibility in trying to address specific, strategies or plans within our business. And this report has just helped
put an overarching highlight on what that might look like. I wanted to acknowledge also the work of the Central West Joint Organisation in developing the toolkit as well. The toolkit is underpins, I guess, that transition into the integrated planning reporting, how we can address that with the RAF elements and tie them together. So this report is about just acknowledging that and getting recognition that we would be working towards that transition, particularly for our business, into that IPMR framework. So I'd just recommend that to council. And if I may perhaps just add to that as a later item, this week we've been informed by the department that there's potential funding for us to work on some of the strategic planning, which will underpin some of these, the IPNR elements and the RAP elements. That's a 50-50 contribution that they would contribute to. At this stage, we've identified some of the projects we'd like to work on with them in that. There is going to be an out-of-pocket expense to council for that. The Director of Finance and Corporate Services and myself, I had a quick chat about that. There is some funding in the operational plan that we can redivert to help deliver some of these projects, but there's likely to be more money required. Unfortunately, at this point in time, with the quick timelines they're trying to turn around this project around in, we don't know the exact figure, and that's unfortunate. However, it's a great opportunity to start delivering some of these projects and getting us into the strategic updating of some of our planning. And unfortunately, won't be ready for our strategic discussions come February for our IPNR framework, but it certainly would help to inform us going forward, and some of these projects are critical really to trying to give us the information data we need to make informed decisions. So I just wanted to identify that there will be additional funding required, and I apologise given the late notice of this, but it does tie in directly to the transition into IPNR. And so we'll provide a report to the February meeting once we know more detail. But we'd probably be just asking principal support from the council also to working with the department on funding those plans.
What sort of dollars do you think?
The estimate, we've had to come up with a ballpark, and I'll be honest with you, it's a real ballpark because we don't know until we go to market. The original figure was about $320,000, and then they also would fund a position and an amount of a position to help us undertake that work, which could, I've estimated about $150,000 on top of that. As I said, it's a 50-50, so we've got to be a little bit careful about how we approach it. To give an idea of the projects we've identified is the level of service, so update our level of service, review them, update them. A complete review of our asset management, condition assessment of our, particularly our treatment plants and how they're able to provide the service that we require to meet those levels of service. We look at a capacity and capability of both the water treatment plants for future planning. We're going to look at network capacity in Millthorpe, Blaney and Canoundra. There's quite a lot of interest at the moment in Millthorpe and Canoundra for subdivisions, and we're not quite up to the point where we can accurately tell them that we can service that, so we need a bit more detail on that. We're going to be looking at our total asset management plan. We'll be again looking at the long-term financial plan. That'll probably go into a 30-year plan rather than a 10-year plan. We talked a bit before about the business continuity, so we'll do a risk assessment of that, and we'll update that with our business continuity plan. We do a workforce plan, and we would review and update the strategic plans, which is our business activity strategic plan. So there's a lot in it.
Mm.
The projects have to be completed by December.
This year.
Next year.
Next year. We're in December. Next year.
Next year. So we've got 12 months to try and deliver some of those things. Many of those things we can do in-house, which is why an internal resource would help. And there's elements that have to be outsourced to external consultants.
So is that where the money's going? It's going into the outsourcing?
No, sorry. The $320,000 is a guesstimate of what the projects would cost to deliver. There was an additional $150,000 on the estimate of a staff member to help us deliver those. So, technically speaking, we're probably edging on $500,000, and we have to contribute 50% of that. We have, as I said, there's some money in the operational budget that we can use. There was an IWCM line item that we would utilise. It's not enough.
It's about 50K.
There's some other minor bits and pieces that we can move over, but it's not going to be enough to cover the full cost. So we're going to have to bring money out of our reserves to fully fund it.
So this will be the first year we're moving away from IW, like integrated water and soccer management. So that was previously, we're up to date with that though, weren't we? Ish.
No, sorry. The IWCM was done in 20...
So we're not up to date with that.
Adopted in 2013.
Right, okay.
Usually under the best practice, so under the older scheme.
Yeah.
You'd revise that and update that every 8 years.
Okay, yeah.
So it was really due back in...
We're putting a bit of money aside for it, that's what I think.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit the first year we're moving to the IPR. Yeah.
Mm. It's probably a little bit unfortunate timing, because a lot of this information we were doing these projects would have been really good to have prior to developing our strategic plans.
Mm.
So my recommendation would be that we undertake these projects. We look at the IPNR through the framework and information we have currently, and we use this as an iterative approach, as in the regulatory assurance framework enables us to do that, do that strategic integration and updating of our plans. So it ties well in with the IPNR and the RAF. It's just unfortunate timing. Didn't align for us this time.
So if we want to put some numbers around this, we're looking at 320 for project-based work and 150 for an employee.
Plus on course.
Plus on course?
Yeah. Mm. So that's why I sort of estimated around $500,000.
But then we'd be paying half that.
Correct.
So that's the total cost that we would pay half.
Correct. So total the employee in non-cost is part of that 50%. We can have all the on-costs incoming. Mm. Okay.
Mm. So what you're asking for from us now is really just in principle support to continue working with them to do this?
Yes.
And yeah.
Probably.
And we won't have to vote the money until next year or sometime.
There'd be elements that we would spend this year,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd set a budget for next year. So the projects obviously go for a 12-month period, but they're across two financial years. Some money would be spent this financial year, we'd allocate money for next financial year.
So we're going to have to find about $250,000 to December next year. Some of that will be in the 23-24 year, which we currently have about 50, I think, for the IWCM. So it depends on what the breakdown of the expenditure is between the respective years. The majority, I would assume, will be done probably in the subsequent year. But we don't have that information at the moment, so we really don't know. So we're probably looking at overall, if you say the 50% funding is 250, half a million, we've got 50, so we're looking at 200,000.
Of which most of it will be in the following financial year.
Yeah, so some will
this
be.
This financial year
would be. Some this year.
So it might be an extra 50 to 100,000 this
financial year.
Possibly, depending on how quickly it gets underway.
Yeah.
And the department have indicated they've got staffing issues at the moment, as we all have. They are well behind in doing these grants. They're trying to push to try and get something out this year. If it doesn't happen this year, it's not likely to happen until February, March next year. And we can't start considering anything until we get some sort of deed from them to say that they've committed to the funds. They've recognised the figures we've put up are estimates only. And we don't know what that might look like until we go to market. So I guess if we get to the point and we go to market and it turns out to be $600,000, yes, we come back to council, or we might have to rescope some of the work, remove some of it. So there's a bit of flexibility in that, but we are, I guess, asking that we lock ourselves into committing to the project should the department come forward with the other 50%, and there will be flexibility in what we can deliver.
Just my opinion is very, very difficult without knowing those figures and then without knowing how it's going to factor in the budget. We just sat up there and we've seen the budget and we're better, but we're not. You know, we're still we've had 3 years in the negative, and we just don't know how we're going to end up this year.
But councillor, if I can just respond to that, the important thing for us as a business is to know our business. Some of the information we have at the moment, whilst it's informative, some of the confidence I have in some of the information we have is not as high as I'd like it to be. The only way we're going to get that level of confidence is to do this planning. Now, yes, we don't have to do it, absolutely not. If we're going to sit down and start having to talk about some of the tough decisions, I'd like to make sure that we've got appropriate information to help the board make decisions. That's where I'm currently at. There was this opportunity. Timing's not ideal. The drive to get this done quickly isn't the way we normally like to do things. It's an opportunity to do it. These plans that I've proposed to the department will underpin all our decisions that we need to make. So I'd encourage councillors to consider that we need to be better informed to make sure that when we go make decisions about fees and charges, that we've got all that support behind us, so when we go to the community, we can be well informed and confident. That's what I would say, councillor. Hand it back to you.
I think
totally agree, but I'd also like the confidence of knowing how much it's going to cost.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, I think it's putting the cart before the horse. I'm quite happy with all the plans and we go ahead, but without making that decision, I'd like to know exactly the same thing. I'd like to be informed about how much, whether it's going to be $300,000 or whether it's going to be $700,000 or $600,000. Yes. Mm, yes. That's what I'm saying. So I think the first thing is go to your tender and find those figures out. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, I can't say, yes, that's great, let's go ahead and do it if it ends up blowing up. So that's my point.
Yeah, one thing we've got to do, Paul, though, is support the
JA. Yes. Like I said, I totally agree, but I'm just saying it's we don't know. As you said, it's only a guesstimate. We're only pulling figures out, making assumptions. We don't need to actually make a decision here until we get those figures.
All you're asking for now is just in principle support to continue.
Yep.
Do we need an extra line item here? Another point?
Well, I would ask that council consider an additional recommendation.
Yes.
Okay, so we have point six. Do we have some words for that?
Provide
some wording.
I would suggest wording to the effect of the council giving principal support for the general manager to continue to work with the department on the potential projects that could be delivered. for the IPNR.
Has it been captured?
You've already got right to the Minister for Water stating that this is the intention of the Council.
The intention of the Council to support the advocacy and start the transition, commence the transition process.
This would be the delivery element.
Yeah. So is everyone happy with...
Sorry, can we just get that wording?
We get that wording so for clear item six?
Item six, that council.
Support the... provide in principle support for the general manager. What was he in? To continue to work with D2. Under what was that arrangement? So it's got a, has it got a name, that incentive?
Is that the town waters?
Safe and secure water program.
Under safe and secure water program.
Stream two.
To
progress
these plans.
With a report back to council.
A report back in February.
In February, okay. With a report back to council, well, actually you don't need to specify exactly what's in there, but the primary purpose of the report would be at least some better indication of how much it's going to cost.
The council provide in principle support to continue to work with.
Could you just read that out again, Peter, if you don't mind?
That council provide in principle support to continue with DQ in respect of. Is it strategic projects? Would you say that?
That was it. I'd say that. Did you have a job?
In respect of strategic project funding, but how would that go?
Efficiencies.
Cool. We're just transitioning to IPNR, isn't it, really? But
Strategic project funding under the Safe and Secure
Program. Under the Safe and Secure Program, yeah.
Funding.
Look, if everyone's happy, I'll put the entire set of recommendations as one. Is that reasonable? Unless anyone's got any particular objection to that, I'll just put the council note report on the transitioning council's local water utility strategic planning from integrated water cycle management to integrated planning and reporting, and note the advice from the Central New South Wales Joint Organisation regarding the priority of transitioning council's local water utility strategic planning from integrated water cycle management to integrated planning and reporting. Two, note that this transition is supported by a practitioner's toolkit developed by the JO with the support of the New South Wales Government and with advice from the Department of Climate Change, Energy, the Environment and Water. Three, support the JO advocacy on a sensible approach to the Department of Climate Change, Energy, the Environment and Water Regulatory and Assurance Framework. Four, commence the transition process for LWU strategy. Five, write to DCHU and the Minister for Water stating that this is the intention of Council. So that will be from you and I guess. Yeah.
From me, yeah.
Item six, an additional item there, which is, Peter, if you could read that out.
Providing principal support to continue to work with DCHU in respect of strategic project funding under the Safe and Secure Program.
Thank you. Do I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Newstead? Councillor Pallett, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
All right, that's carried. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Charlie, that was good.
Councillors?
Yeah, that's a good opportunity for the 50% incentive. Always useful. Item 12.2, the traineeships. The recommendations there are the one that Council note the report on trainees and that Council approve future funding for providing training courses to the trainees. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you,
Oh, did you want to move in a second?
Oh, indeed, sorry. Move by.
Yeah, I had a move.
Councillor Best, seconded by Councillor Nash. Thank you very much. Sorry, yes. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The report just identifies that the government have acknowledged that there is a shortage in workforce within local government. There's also identified in the local water utilities that there's approximately 1,300 shortages of operators and qualified staff. So there is a...
Sorry, that's $2 from me.
$4.
We'll give it to you later, Pete.
Next year's Christmas party. Apologies.
So in acknowledging the shortage of the workforce, the OLG have funding trainees, apprentices to work within the local government sector, so to help build those numbers. The funding covers 100% of the salary or the wages of the trainee.
Oh, that's good.
Fantastic.
And it does only cover 15% of the percentage of the on costs. Yeah, so I had to get my head around that because it's a bit ambiguous in how they've written it, but it's not 15% of the 100%, it's just 15% of what the on-cost percentage is. In our case, Peter, 42%.
That's what I use currently,
Mr. Chairman. Is our current 40%. On-cost figure. So we get 15% of that 42%. Just to confuse it. Peter and I had, the Director of Finance and I have had a discussion on this, and it is going to require an amount of administration to, I guess, maintain records. We're fortunate too that part of the traineeship is that we have to offer certified training. The Central West New South Wales General Organisation this year and last year have provided that training in the region for water operators and wastewater operators, and they're looking to do that again next year. Last time it was fully funded training, so we're anticipating that would occur again, and we've provided them with an idea of numbers that we could potentially put through those courses, including the trainees. So this was really just to highlight that there's the opportunity out there. The OLG have provided us approval on the basis that we can meet certain criteria, one being the training is the primary one. And then there's going to be that ongoing reporting throughout the period, and this will be over a two-year period. So there's a bit of work in that. There's additional funding. But there is some benefits to council in trying to attract staff into the industry, get trained staff, and potentially have some succession planning for the future as well. These traineeships will not form in terms of the organisation. They don't add to our full-time equivalent. They're fully employed as employees of council, but they don't add to that. So after that set period, those positions drop off. So they don't necessarily exist in our organisational structure.
But if there are positions available, they'd be more than likely encouraged to apply for any positions after that.
Yes. Years.
Well, you can't knock back succession planning. You've got to, train young people to come into the border. I know that's very important.
Did you recognise certificate they end up with?
Yeah, certificate 3 in water operations.
Okay.
There's two streams. One is for water treatment and the other is for network. So we've been the two trainees, we put one
each side.
One each. And then swap them around, or?
We would look to swap them around in the second year if we can do that.
Oh, okay. So it's only 1 year for the certificate and then?
The certificate, typically they try and do it in sort of like 6 to 8 months.
Yep, okay.
So if there is the opportunity for them to go on and do the beside the network. There's core subjects that are the same.
Yep, crossovers. Particular areas.
But it is a recognised certificate.
Would they get time to do that while they're in public?
Yes, yeah. And that's part of the agreement. We have to provide them all that time and resource into doing it.
I think it's well worth it, you know.
Have you touched base with the JO to see if they are going to, their ideas, are they going to continue that training this year?
So they've reached out to the
okay.
councils to seek numbers
yep.
to start that process for next year. There's no guarantee of that. TAFE.
They have opportunity.
TAFE do it. So there are other options out there if the JO can't pull something together.
Provide it, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good.
All right, thanks. Thank you, General Manager. The recommendation there is the Council note the report on trainees and also approve future funding for providing training courses to the trainees. And that future funding looks to be approximately, what, about 15,000? Is that, that's been suggested here, is that correct?
If the training's not available.
Yep.
So that was
an estimate
on the training.
Yeah.
There is the on-cost element that is yet to be determined.
Yeah. But it's not going to be massive. Huge hit.
No,
The value of being involved here is so much greater than that.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, basically I assume they'd be employed under traineeship rates and you'd apply the on-cost to the appropriate rate, which we need to design position descriptions for and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of work there to do, but we can do that. And once you've got them in place, you've got them for... Forever.
That's great.
Do we have a training budget?
We do have training budgets. We spend some of it, but we've got a bit left over, so we might be able to fund some of that out of our existing. I'll have to have a look and see what we've got there.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Any further comments, questions? Look, I'll put that all in. Oh, we've got a mover and seconder already. I think we do. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that all in favour.
Aye.
It's carried. Thank you. 12.3, just a report back from the General Manager about the Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference in Tamworth. The recommendation that Council note the report regarding the annual conference. Do I have a mover? Councillor Newstead? Shaker? Councillor Nash? Thank you. General Manager?
Mr. Chair, this is, I guess, just a report for noting, really, but there was quite an attendance. Councillor Nash would test you. I think Councillor Best, you were...
No, we didn't.
You didn't go. So.
No.
There were quite a lot of motions put up, 110, of which I've made note of a couple of those which I felt that were applicable directly to CTW, but there obviously being 110 motions, there's a pretty broad range of topics that are discussed. Maybe Councillor Nash might want to make any additional comments, but I think it was well attended, that's for certain. I don't think there was anything in there that was really controversial for us. There were certainly some discussions had about certain topics, but. So this report's just really for the noting, and if councillors are interested, there's the whole business paper to read in minutes as well.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I'll probably only mention that one item there, Motion 3, which deal with natural disasters. We made a lot of representations following the severe flooding that affected our service area and a number of areas in November 2022. We looked to get some relief, both through insurance and through potentially through the disaster funding. We did a lot of representation on that, and we basically got knocked back on the matter that water assets are basically assets that you're using to produce an income. They're not considered essential public assets in that respect. The provision of water is an essential asset, is an essential service. So that's an area that obviously is going to be subject to further discussion and resolution, and I'm not sure how that's going to be resolved because basically it's very hard to say that you don't get any income from your water infrastructure per se, and that's
you know, the argument we sort of had to put that. So unlike roads or other assets that some of the GP councils had, they were able to get relief, but we weren't able to.
It was also brought up at the JO and also the meetings that we had with ministers in Parliament as well. It was brought up then, exactly this point.
Well, water's so important, isn't it?
No, I think there are moves afoot to have this changed. It's just it's a really crazy situation that, you know, that water infrastructure is not considered an essential public asset simply because we're earning money from it. That's a bit crazy. So yeah, that'll probably change sometime in the near future.
That being said, Tony, I'd like to make the comment then that if that motion is so important to us, I don't know whether we could pass on some of that already advocacy we've already done to LG New South Wales, because we need to keep them on the ball, because that's what your motions were basically doing, getting them to advocate for us, provide them with as much background as what we can to say this is why we're after that advocacy. That would be like, you know, if we could pass them on with a letter or something like that, and say, it's such a big issue for us. Yeah, it could be make or break. One bad disaster could be make or break for us.
Indeed, it's going to continue to be an issue for
us.
And I think there's a bit of an inequity too with what happened in the Northern Rivers. So that caused a bit of contention with councils. So absolutely, and I'm aware that as far as the water utilities within the JO is concerned, they're continuing to advocate and appreciative of their support too.
Actually, as of yesterday, the Reconstruction Authority has just put out the draft process that they have for development of disaster adaptation plans. So you can get onto their website and have a look at that. But this is actually something that probably should filter into that process as well. I hadn't thought about it before, dragging the two together. But that should be something that we should consider for that. If we're going to be... In fact, are we going to be required to develop a disaster adaptation plan for CTW separate from our constituent councils? Something I guess we can discuss with the JO.
Certainly go into our emergency management process and our business continuity.
And BCB,
And BCB,
The elements within that.
Okay, well, thanks for that. So I'll put that. We note that report.
Sorry, we haven't got a mover in a second.
I thought we did.
John and Marlon.
John and Marlon.
Sorry, Councillor Newstead, Councillor Nash.
My apologies, sorry.
So I thought I was on the ball that time. I usually forget.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, we forgive you, Peter. You're almost always on the ball. Yeah. Well ahead of me. So I'll put that all in favour.
Aye.
Thank you. 12.4. Policy reviews, fraud control policy, water quality management policy, and the procurement policy. The recommendation there is that we note the report, note the changes in the fraud and corruption control policy and plan, and adopt the policy as I think it has gone out for public display for the 28 days and is now back. Thirdly, to endorse the draft procurement policy and the draft water quality management policy and place those on public display. And if no submissions are received during the procurement policy and water quality management policy public display period, they be adopted. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a recommendation. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Newstead, Councillor Best, thank you. Yeah, you got those?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Who would like to speak to that? Anyone?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. And basically, with these policies, the fraud, corruption and control policy went to council at the previous meeting. It went up to the ARIC committee. Unfortunately, it didn't go up to ARIC prior to that meeting because we only had four ARIC meetings a year and six council meetings, so you're always going to have potentially an issue of timing. There were some minor wording changes which are in red here. In the policy, they're quite minor.
Yes.
The overall thrust of the policy is the same. So basically we're presenting it back. We thought it was appropriate to come back to council because of these changes. There were a number of changes.
Yep.
But they're fairly minor in nature, so we haven't had any submissions to Shell on this one, have we, at this stage? So we can basically move forward with that one. The procurement policy, we're updating the procurement policy. It's been identified a number of our policies are quite old. So we put forward our procurement policy here. It's the overall principles that we apply for procurement. It does have, councillors would be familiar with the modern slavery issue now, which is out and about and very difficult. There's a modern slavery commissioner who's issuing guidelines and so forth. It's a very difficult thing to for councils to necessarily to know every supply chain and what have you. There has been a risk assessment done through the JO of suppliers. Basically, the risk is based on type of goods and sometimes the location where those goods are manufactured or sourced from. And there was a threshold of 100,000 used as the cutoff, so anything that was under 100,000, they weren't considered, you know, to be a high risk. So that's been included in the policy. There was another item there about using pre-qualified supplier of goods and services lists, and that's something council is considering. Obviously that's quite intensive to keep lists for all your various items or whatever. We're about to go out for electrical contractors, so we're going to get a preferred supply list for electrical contracting work. Our existing contractor is retiring. So we're going to sort of, that'll be our first one to do. Keep maintaining those lists and whatever is quite intensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll use this, do this electrical one.
Is it possible to use one from the JO or from... do they have one for...
JO, whether they have supply, I don't think the JO does. The constituent council do. Whether we can leverage off them, it might be something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, basically having the resource there to maintain and to ensure that it's followed up and changes are done and reviewed every 12 months and so on.
So that means that you just keep a list, you don't actually go out to tender, is that right?
That's correct, you have a preferred supply list.
Technically we're doing a tender. Technically we are.
Oh, okay.
However, the engagement piece is more ad hoc rather than for a contract per se. One of the reasons we probably can't go to a constituent council, although they have a pre-qualified supplier list, we want to be fairly specific about what we need, because we're a little bit different. One of the elements we really need is 24/7 backup support. That's a critical element for us to keep our water running.
Yeah.
So the documentation we put forward will help to identify the key elements of that contractor when they're signing up to go onto our panel list, they agree that they're going to be able to do that. So we want to be a little bit more specific than what is typically.
So you're really going out there to find the companies.
And it'll be done on a scheduled rates. So they'll submit with their tender or schedule that we will apply, and they will apply when they're invoicing. So from that perspective, that's why the tender is important.
Yeah.
So we are open and transparent with them.
And it may be also because we're unique compared to a constituent council in terms of we've got a number of different supply areas, so we may have a number of suppliers in that area.
Yeah.
Might just be one electrical contractor, we may have multiple preferred suppliers, depending on the case.
And then you keep that list and...
Yep.
Yeah,
you keep it updated.
Question to the director, though. Say, if you don't, off the top of your head, but how much will we spend a year on that electrical contract, do you think?
Good question. I'd have to go and...
You would, yeah, okay, yeah.
Go and check. It's significant. It can be significant, particularly if there's extra work, say, to do with a pump station upgrade or you know, there was a bit of work, obviously, on the charcoal reservoir and stuff like that, but it'd be significant.
Yeah, it'd be worth looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not quite significant enough to employ full-time.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, a bit of attrition contract wise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That'd be interesting to see.
Before we moved on to the next one, did you want to mention Councillor Goswich sent us a
message this morning about not a minor change, was it?
Yeah, thank you.
To the procurement policy?
Yeah, with the absence of Councillor Goswich, he made an indication that it would be worth adding to the procurement policy, which could be done at a later stage. It's a minor amendment, but item 1.4 there to include in the responsibilities that at the Director of Operations and Technical Services.
That's been added.
Yep.
That's been added?
Yes.
Okay.
That's on page 21.
Mm. We don't anticipate, that's not going to prevent us from going out to public exhibitions.
No, definitely at all. And the other policy was the water management?
Yeah, for you, Mr. Chairman, it's water quality management policy that hasn't been reviewed for a number of years, so we are currently doing some work with that in consulting on our drinking water management system, so I tapped into Adam Consulting to see if they wanted to basically bring that up with the group, with our guys and themselves. And they were having regular meetings and they come up with a revised policy. That's the overall principles of drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously a very detailed and complex drinking water management system that sits underneath that.
Yes.
But it's pretty succinct, but it covers the major areas.
Well, the beauty of it too is that it would feed directly into our vision statements for our RPNR, our strategic vision. So all the details sits right there in this wording, which is fantastic.
So can I add to this too, through Mr. Chair, just to identify and recognise our water quality manager? At the moment, we're doing an audit readiness project through the Central West New South Wales JO. CTW were the first ones to undertake that audit readiness, and whilst we haven't got the report back yet, we have done exceptionally well according to the auditor. So I'm looking forward to seeing the report, but I wanted to recognise that Corey, our water quality manager, has done an exceptional job trying to bring this together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're fortunate to have quality staff there that are delivering the service to our communities. So just acknowledge you.
Thanks, Sir Shine. Thank you, General Manager. That's, and I concur.
Mm.
I think we all do. Peter, was that...
That's about it.
That's about it.
Unless anyone's got any questions about any of those policy documents.
Are there any questions? So, noting the report, we also note the minor changes to the fraud and corruption control policy and plan and adopt, even though we had agreed to adopt it last time after.
Yes.
Yes. But it's now adopted. We're asking it to modify, make those minor modifications, and then put the other two out for a period of 28 days.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then be adopted if there are no submissions.
Yep.
We have already have a mover and seconder.
Yep,
I'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
That's carried. Thank you very much. 4.5 we have already dealt with.
Page 47, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. 4.6, the quarterly budget review statement. The recommendation that Council adopt the budget review statement for the quarter ending 30th of September 2024 and the variations therein be voted. Director of Finance and Corporate Services.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't made a lot of adjustments to the September report at this stage. It's pretty early in the year. As I indicated previously with the audit presentation, we've had a fairly slow start to the year. We've had quite a few rain events and wet weather. So our sales have been, for the first two quarters, are not great. But we have had periods where the plants have been turned up and the demand's been pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that there will be some recovery, but we may have to reduce the estimate of our income when I do the next review, which will come up to council in February. But we need to sort of look at that. But it was a slow start last year and it recovered. Not too bad. I didn't make an adjustment, but it did recover. I think I made an adjustment of 100,000 kilometres. So we haven't made a lot of adjustments here. We've got just the two. I apologise once again for Info Council how it's not picking up these landscape documents. We've got it's something that Michelle and I are sort of looking at. We have to get on the Info Council and see it. Used to do it, but when you run the report, when you look at the attachment, it's fine.
Mm.
When you run the report, it puts it in there. There's only a couple of adjustments. We sold 5 vehicles in October and we recovered a bit of extra money. They've been held for a bit longer because of the lead time on getting new vehicles and so on and over the COVID period. So we recovered a bit of depreciation there, so I reckon we might pick up another 90 grand there in additional profit on sale.
Before we move on, Peter, just a question about the cars. Mm. You mentioned before that we have 2021 vehicles. We've got a total staff of about 25 or so. How is it we've got so many vehicles?
We do, all the operators have vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
The senior staff have vehicles and the store has a vehicle as well. So mm-hmm. that's how it gets up to about that number. I think there's about all the operators and the network operators and the treatment plant staff have vehicles. So it's mainly those work vehicles that
mm-hmm.
bring the numbers up. So yeah, that's why we have. So we do have a fairly significant fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So it costs a bit to run, but we just got lucky on this occasion with the sales. It was something that I became involved with because it's an area that interests me, and because we didn't have a director of operations and technical services over that period,
mm-hmm.
It was an area that I sort of took on board to sell them, and it was a bit of an exercise to make sure everything was serviced and everything was up to date and negotiating. We had 3 wholesalers come in and actually had a look at the vehicle, so it was a fairly competitive process. So it worked out quite well. Mm-hmm. I had 2 turn up at one time, which was a little bit uneasy, but you like to have those guys at different times. You don't like to have them together, sort of looking together, but it worked out all right, and we did pretty well. With depreciation, we're generally working on about 20% for those vehicles. If you sell them within 2 years, you're looking at a 60% sort of written down value. It's about right. But when you start to get to 4 or 5 years, well, it's getting close to being written off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
the advantage we've got on this particular occasion. The other item I've adjusted is the infrastructure depreciation, and that takes into account. At the time I did the original budget, I didn't know what the actual figure. I had a projected figure for 23-24, but obviously that was, as we discussed, the depreciation number was bigger than I anticipated, and we've got these revaluations sort of feeding in, so I've actually upped that estimate to what I think should be sufficient to cover it. I'm hoping that's enough there to cover it this year.
Mm-hmm.
It will also be a full year of the Carcall Reservoir and
a full
year of the Woodstock Pump Station, so there's a few factors there pushing it up. Always a difficult number, a little bit like probably not as hard as estimating water sales revenue, but estimating the depreciation depending on your renewals and what you capitalise through the year. And that revaluation figure, you don't know that construction index till the end of the year,
yes.
and how that's going to impact in future years once you index those assets. So it's always a bit of a difficult one.
In the case of, say, the 12 meg res, how long are you depreciating it over what?
Well, various components.
Okay.
The mechanical and then the civil. I think the civil's over about 100 years.
Yep.
The mechanical, I think it's about, I'd have to probably check with Ben, but I think it's around 60 years. I was able to, I did actually put in a request for the auditors. I did an audit a note for the auditors to consider whether the initial bulk earthworks could be considered non-depreciable, which I thought, based on my understanding of the accounting standard, was quite valid, but it was an unusual thing. It's not something that's been done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to get, I think it was nearly 800,000 put in as non-depreciable. Like that initial earthworks was like the characteristic of land, so it became mm-hmm. non-depreciable. So that's over 100 years. It's saving us about 8 grand a year. I know it's a small issue, but every little bit helps.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a discussion with the auditors. I had to go to both Katie and then the audit office as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was tossed around, and they decided, I had to verify all that cost of the bulk earthworks work and so forth, and the geotech costs as well that was done. were part of it. So, yeah, we got that through, and that was a small sort of win for us, but we take any win we can.
Yep.
Yeah.
These issues, because it's a depreciation, as I said, is a really big issue, and I think I put it in that report. I think it's about, I have to double check, I think it's about $490 per connection is depreciation. So that gives people a bit of an understanding of how much, you know, you've got to get $490 to cover your depreciation out of a connection. So that sort of puts it in some sort of perspective, I suppose. People get a bit of a feeling for it.
Mm-hmm.
As we've discussed, there's no easy solution to it. But we just keep working away and trying to get the best outcome that we can. Maybe at some stage when we do these condition assessments that the general manager's talking about and so forth, we may be able to change depending on what that process, the outcome of that process. It may lead to changes in the remaining useful lives, I don't know. But that's something that may obviously be something that we can sort of use in future to help us as well. Because it is certainly a, you know, $3 million is a huge number for us.
It is indeed. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peter. Are there any questions about the QBO for everyone? Well, if there's no further questions, I will put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Carried. We had, I thought we'd done that. Didn't we?
What's the job?
John and Mother.
I thought
we'd done that.
I thought
we
did. Yeah. Actually, we've got it.
John and Marlene.
Yeah. I think that's what
it was. Yeah, that's
what it was. Yeah. Okay. So that is carried. Thank you, everyone. 12.7. Financial Matters Investment Report, as at 30th of November 2024, the recommendation there is that the information in relation to Council's cash and investments as at 30th of November 2024 be, I assume, be noted. Could I have a mover, please? Councillor Pallett and Councillor Newstead. Thank you. This is my favourite part of the meeting. Director of Finance and Corporate Services.
For you, Mr. Chairman, basically this is the question that's on everyone's lips, and what's going to happen with interest rates. We had a meeting at the Reserve Bank yesterday, and they decided that they weren't going to move on it at this stage. I was at a conference last week, and they had a representative there, a senior economist from the Commonwealth Bank, and he was very firm on his prediction that they will be reducing interest rates in February. There is no doubt in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
There was doubt in a lot of other commentators' mind and so on. So in terms of the investments rates that are being offered, there's a little bit of uncertainty there as to how, you know, what's the best rate, what's the best period. We generally go for 12-month terms, but we just recently, last week, went to a 6-month term. We were able to get a better rate on 6 months, but obviously we don't have that security return for the following 6 months. We'll see what the market sort of bears. The inflation figure, that's the thing that we've seen. Inflation is very, very, very high for services, insurances, rents, those type of thing. It's still very strong. The goods and services sector, it's sort of slowing down a bit. People should be starting to notice that with their groceries a little bit, but I don't notice it that much. But anyway, so it's sort of slowing down a little bit. So the question is, yes, there will definitely be probably a reduction in rates definitely next year, but will it be early in the year or late in the year? We really don't know. The RBA is keeping their hands very close to their chest because they don't want to make a prediction and then lock themselves into it. So in terms of rates, we're just looking at what part of the curve, whether we stay at the 12 or whether we bring it back to 6 to see when we have a maturity to see how we're placed and how that revised date impacts our future liquidity requirements. So we're taking a pretty active approach to it as we've continued to do. So the market, we're getting over 5%, so the market is not too bad at the moment.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you, Peter. Questions?
Yeah, Councillor Newstead? Just quickly. I think I asked this at the last meeting, Peter, Mr. Director. Curve securities, we don't charge for them to find those rates?
No, they get the rate that they offer from the institution. So they get their fee from the institutions.
And do you have to tell them when an investment...
No, they've got a portfolio. They've got a portfolio management system. They actually send it to us to say you've got a maturity coming up. You go into a table, you look at all the institutions, and you know there's some opportunities there with other institutions, basically Bank of India, or there's Santoro Montissimo Bank in Italy. There's a lot of options there, but we tended to sort of stay with the known ones, the Australian institutions or the major banks that have got branches in Australia. But certainly Kerr is very handy for us. If there's any specials out there, they generally send us no through. Have you got any cash? Because, you know, we've got this special offer to us. It generally closes up within a few, it can close up within 3 or 4 hours too.
Yeah.
Because they're out there promoting it and they get the money and whatever. So certainly they've been really good to us in terms of how we've been able to manage our portfolio. It's pretty small, but they certainly take a lot of the administration out for us.
Is there a minimum amount that they'll work with?
No.
Can the general public use these?
Generally, it's sophisticated investors that they deal with. The bigger. So you're looking at probably 500 parcels, 500K parcels, or certainly 250.
You've got that in your back pocket, haven't you, Councillor?
Not quite.
Yes, you've got a spare 500K sitting there. Look, thanks so much for that, Peter, Director of Financial Services. I always enjoy this part of it because it's like getting Ross Giddens telling us about what we're doing.
I certainly don't put myself up anywhere near Mr. Giddens. Ross Giddens is an icon.
Well, we think of you in the same light.
Yes.
So I think we've already got a mover and seconder. So I'll put that and thank Peter for his advice. That's brilliant. I'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Carried. Thank you. 12.8. Project updates. The recommendation there is that Council note the update on the various projects currently underway, of which we have many at the moment. Mover? Councillor Newstead. Pilot, thank you. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this report is for noting, and I'm happy to take questions on the specifics. If anyone would like to know more detail, there's a separate report for the sub-regional town water management, which is coming from the project manager who's working on that. So I'll put the report, but I'm happy to take questions.
Probably the simplest, yeah. You've been having regular meetings with DCHU about the Collaborative Water Security Project.
Yes.
There's a little bit of detail there about how that is coming along. So that's primarily, well, you can speak to that if you wish.
Yeah, sure. There is, in addition, which is just coming out this week, is the first draft of one of the chapters of the final business case, which is goes to, it talks about the need. So that's coming out this week. They've asked us to provide feedback on that draft by the 6th of January. I've got an email from them and I'll forward that out to the councillors for their review. Having technical difficulties because I'm not within DQ, I don't get access to their SharePoint, which is where all the documents are being stored now. So once we get that sorted out, I will then forward that off for feedback. That will be required by the 6th of January. But progressing reasonably well in terms of time frame. Not a lot of money spent at this point in time. They've just started to engage consultants to start building up the data and documentation going forward.
Any questions on any of those projects?
maybe on the sub-regional town water, maybe you can fill us in on why Orange's groundwater ones weren't included, and if they've been, do you know why that or not? They say the groundwater work's all done, but then they said Orange has identified groundwater, but they're not included in the actual...
Yeah, they had a consultant that went around and looked at our bores and Cavon's bores. Orange have already done that amount of work, so I think they know what their bores were capable of, and that's their decision. Will it impact on our... the water security for the sub, for the region? Unlikely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bores in Orange, and there's a lot of backyard bores. It's amazing the number of bores that are already there. So that it's a bore field that's...
Me too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I just it's funny that all ours have been included in it, but then Orange has said they've identified them, yet they're not included in the strategy, and I was like, what's
going on? I'm wondering whether or not it's just partially because it's already well used, it's well utilised resource. You know, there's bores everywhere. It's actually a pretty good bore field, really, isn't it?
In Orange?
Yeah, the aquifer there is pretty amazing. Not in your place?
No.
Yeah, some of the bores are pretty amazing. But there's a lot more bores in Orange than most people realise. Mm. A lot of them in people's backyards, like yours. You got one?
Yeah. Is it soft water?
Soft? I think it's pretty good.
Mine's not.
Not no, pretty hard. Yeah. Okay.
Does Orange themselves manage any bores? They wouldn't.
Yeah, they've got some bores around Spring Hill.
Yeah, around Spring Hill. But you're saying you don't think they're good enough capacity to add into the anywhere system?
Like the quantum. And I think their licensing conditions too might be in challenge.
Mm. Yeah, it just seems funny that ours were all.
Yeah.
Ours are all in there, but no one else.
Thinking the same.
That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, no drama. If there are no further questions, I think we've done a moving shaker, so I'll put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Carry. Thank you. Move to item. Point 9, maintenance of council systems. The recommendation there is council note report. And this is a general report on how things are holding up with the systems. Do you want to speak to that, or does Jim?
I think we'll just note that that is noted in red.
Yep.
If there's any questions, have we taken them on?
Any questions? No? We have a mover.
Happy move.
Councillor Best. Councillor Nash.
Yeah, all good.
Okay, I'll hold on a minute. Councillor Eustace out of the room. Sorry. Pretty soon. Yeah, basically straight away. Yeah,
so
pretty
soon.
About
12:30.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Did you have any questions about 12.9, maintenance of council systems?
No,
okay. So I'll put that we note that report. All in favour?
Aye.
It's carried. 12.10, performance of council systems as well. What's the next one? This is again noting the report. Got a mover. Councillor Newsed, Councillor Pallett. Got that? Yep. Any comments or questions?
Again, just remind me what R and RP stands for.
I think easiest to think is remove and repair. That's all I think of.
Yes,
the easiest way to think of it.
Replace and repair.
Yeah.
Replace and repair. Yeah. I've got one question, which is not necessarily specifically related to this report, but is sort of generally related. Some of the other, I was looking at one other report which had a fairly substantial leakage percentage, you know, of our total throughput.
In the annual report?
And it was in the annual report, indeed, in the annual report. And the percentage seems to be rising.
or has been, pretty high in recent times, even with all of the extra work we've been doing on leakage. Is there an explanation for that, or?
Oh, through you, Mr. Chair. At the moment, the water loss management project, which was identified, I guess that's stalled at the moment, that will go, in future we'll have better data to be able to inform us of what those leaks are, where they are, so that we can start to address them. At the moment, there's some assumptions that we make in calculating those figures.
Mm-hmm.
But future state will hopefully get better data from the water meters, etc., that are going in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is a problem.
So it's calculated by basically the difference between what's metered at the end and what's pumped out at the front.
And there's an element for maintenance, so scouring or flushing and testing and a few things. So there's a few assumptions made in that space as well on volumes.
Do we meter our flushing? We don't. We just open them up, don't we? Give you an accurate representation of how much we actually are flushing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Through the chair, look at 20 hours. Nothing. 22, 23, 24.
The only thing I've noticed is we've got a fair few breaks at main at Canoundra, but we're obviously working on them. I know we're doing a lot of replacement work there. It's just not reflected in the table below. I don't know if that's anything that's just. That's all.
Sorry, could you just tell me what
page? In Canoundra, you have a look at all your breaks. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 main breaks over that period, and then you go down to the actual table, and it says Canoundra. Doesn't say this year. We said we had no main breaks in Canoundra at all. That's all. It's just that.
Okay. Leaking meters and leaking servers.
Main breaks, Gower Street.
That table is more of the retic, isn't it? Whereas the other ones are a bit the trunk mains, is that right? The main breaks?
Yeah, still should be.
Yeah. So they're the main breaks in that first table, but the rest are all about the reticulation beyond that. I think, is that correct? Am I reading that correctly?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Is it?
It is correct.
Okay, we still call them main break, even though you're saying it's in that part, because there's a section which actually is main break.
Yeah, it does say main break. That's a good point.
It is worth, I guess, the trunk mains are under item A, on that table A, so that's referring to those specific trunk mains. The main breaks are within the town, so there is a definition that we probably need to put in there to
just to clarify, but
make it a bit clearer.
But obviously Canoundra's copying a fair few breaks, but I know we are doing replacements here.
Also, the going back to the question I was asking before, that high percentage of leak is actually a significant amount of megalitres, which is, and we only have a certain amount of right, our extraction right, in the water sharing plans is a finite amount. Okay, we don't hit that mark. No. We're not even close at the moment. But I guess it's a function of the water loss management program is to try and bring that down so that at least there's a little bit more water that's
It's certainly
it's a significant amount of
priority that
we
manage, absolutely.
Any further questions? No further questions. No. I will put that. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Carried. Thank you. And I think that might be it.
For you, Mr. Chairman, there's one late report that was put in the late report, but it should have been in the body of the. Because it had to be run separately. Yeah, it's only about. It's here, item 15.1, it's in the business paper.
Basically.
So it's just the code of conduct statistics, which was an annual return that we have to do.
Okay.
The Office of Local Government are in the process of dislodging the one for this year.
Yep.
And that's a mandatory disclosure. It was a zero return.
Happy to move it.
So we just need a mover and a shaker.
Councillor Best, yep. A shaker. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye, it's carried. And I think, are there any questions on notice? No questions on notice? No questions on notice. I think that is the end of our meeting. I declare the meeting finished at 12:10 or 12:11. And thank everyone for their attendance.